Hello, everybody, and welcome to, would you believe it, our 50th edition of Rabbiting On. That means if this is the first time you're listening, you've got a lot of catching up to do. So it's lovely to be here this morning. I am Rabbi Miriam Berger, and lovely to be with my colleagues, Rabbi Debbie Young-Summers.
Hello, and welcome to 50.
And Rabbi Robin Ashmanstein.
Hello. What do we get for being 50? Isn't there a special present? Is it diamonds or is that another one?
Gold? I think it's gold.
Something like that, yeah.
I think so. It would be if we were married. Yes.
Well, basically, it's as good as, yeah.
The best thing, so producer Dan has asked me to make a request of this 50th edition of our listeners, but I don't feel I can make the request without like just couching it in a bit of a story. So I'm going to really quickly just tell you this story because I like it. So about a year ago, I had cataract surgery and woke up the morning after the surgery, reached for my glasses and kind of remembered I didn't need them. I didn't need to put contact lenses in that morning. And I could see, and it felt totally miraculous. Literally the day before I'd been minus 17. I really couldn't even like get to the loo without putting glasses on. I'd been wearing glasses since I was 4, contact lenses since I was 9, and totally was just blown away by this kind of change. So a little while later in the day, the surgeon phones to do that like follow up, just checking the day after the surgery, how you're feeling and how you're doing. And I said to him, you know, it's totally miraculous. Every day I've said this same blessing about, you know, blessing a God who opens the eyes of the blind. And I've always seen it as metaphorical. And today was the first day that it wasn't a metaphor. It feels like there is something truly divine in the work that you do. And he took a breath and there was a moment of silence and he just went, is there any chance you could put that in a Trustpilot review?
Did you?
So this is my request to our listeners today, which is apparently if you go to the place that you just downloaded this podcast, it's possible to give us up to 5 stars to show your appreciation for these rabbiting on wonderful chats that you love to be part of. So any chance you could rate us, as long as you've got good news and nice feedback for us, that would be really, really a gift to keep rabbiting on rabbiting and help us to find funding for another series. So thanks so much. So on to today's episode, and we've got a really interesting topic today, which is really looking at what it's been like for students to be on campus recently, particularly looking at our universities. And it's an interesting topic. It's been a long while since any of us were at university.
I'm still there.
Oh, except for endless student Robin.
Yeah. Never to leave.
Never to leave. Always a student. And I think it's just fascinating. Maybe let's start there, Robin, with a little bit about, you know, the difference between being a student now and being a student back in the day. I graduated in 2000. I don't know when you graduated from university the first time round. But do we have a bit of a sense of the then and now?
Yeah. So I think I graduated in 2001. I think I went in at 2004 and I went in at 2001. And what I'm excited to talk about today, and we're going to hear from some students, is there's no one experience of being Jewish at university, is there? But maybe we'll find some trends. But I'm really excited to hear the diversity of experience. So I was at Cambridge University when I went for my first undergrad.
Ooh.
And yeah, no, as soon as I said it, I was like, that's arsy to say. That's not good to say. Can we swear on this? I don't think I've ever tried to. Anyway, 50 episodes in, maybe swear words are okay. I really struggled at
That's
university.
That's going to be the blooper, sorry.
That'll be the blooper, yeah.
What college were you at, Robin?
At Newnham, mm-hmm. The all girls, all women college. Mm-hmm. So it was great. Uni wasn't my happiest time generally, but that's not to do with being Jewish necessarily. But I really struggled to transplant my very local Judaism in Manchester to another place. I just really struggled. I couldn't work out how to do it. I went to synagogue, didn't quite work. JSOC was very orthodox and I just did not understand how I could, you know, I tried and I went to JSOC events, but I didn't feel like I belonged to it. We did some multi-faith stuff, which was tricky. I had a really bad encounter with a Christian evangelical, but I was in the theology and religious studies. So being Jewish was always like a core part of why I was doing what I was doing. And my supervisor, tutor was Jewish as well. So it didn't feel like I never felt vulnerable being Jewish. I just wasn't sure how to practice my Judaism there. So that was my kind of thing. Now I'm a PhD student at the University of Leeds. I'm really lucky because I'm in the theology department again, and I have the best supervisor ever. I've got three. They're brilliant. And Johanna, who's the professor of Hebrew Bible. That is a really, it's a diverse and it's a very caring place that understands the nuance of religious identities and cultural identities and how conflicts impact and all that. University of Leeds obviously has been in the news for a lot of very difficult experiences. And I know mine is not typical. I've spoken to undergrads who have had a very difficult time, and some, you know, it's diverse, isn't it? But I have had conversations with students who've had a really difficult time. So yeah, that's kind of my experience up until now. But, you know, I've done lots of teaching at university in the last 2 years and on being a rabbi and, you know, Jewish texts and stuff. And it's been really interesting and people have really wanted to have conversations and it's been very positive. But it's funny because I can hear myself couching like, I know that's not everyone's experience because I don't want to diminish anyone's. But we'll get into that, I think, when we hear more of the stories.
What about you, Debbie?
It's interesting because I think my experience was almost the flip side of yours, Robin. I think I was keeping the universe in balance. So I graduated in 2001 when you were starting. But I went from, you know, the Jewish hubbub of Northwest London, although I never went to a Jewish school. I went to a university with maybe 10 people that would stand up and say they were Jewish. I went to Lancaster and it made me the Jew that I am, really. I think that sense of going out of your comfort zone to a place where you have to make Jewish life happen if you want it to happen. And I met people for the first time who had never met Jews, which was not an experience I'd ever had, and who felt quite comfortable sharing a lot of their prejudices. Which I thought was brilliant because they then had to sit in a religious studies seminar with me and unpack all that stuff and learn that I was a human and that I, you know, didn't have horns and didn't die in Auschwitz and all those sort of assumptions that people who, so, and one person who was a mature student actually in his 30s said, oh, I've never met a Jew before. That's so interesting. I feel really sorry for you.
He doesn't know the half of it.
Because the only thing I know,
tell me
the
about
only thing
it.
He did know
you think
was
you've
about
got it back.
The Holocaust. He only knew about the Holocaust, and that was his entire understanding of Judaism. And actually, I became much more involved in my own Judaism, and also because there was this little hardy gang of us who wanted to make Jewish life happen for ourselves, cross-communally, and it was a really great experience. I absolutely loved it. And went on to be a student field worker afterwards for Reform Judaism because it was such an important part of how I'd found myself, I think. And then got to see the breadth and depth of Jewish life around the country and pretend I was still a student sleeping on people's floors and things.
It was a glamorous life.
It was. It was a very glamorous life. Lots of driving. I think there was 1 week where I did the Severn Bridge and the Tyne Bridge in 1 week. That was a lot.
Impressive. So, I went to Bristol and I've had a really interesting kind of comparison moment, I think, because so I was there 97 to 2000. I feel like I just need to add, I got an offer from Cambridge, didn't get the grades. And when Bristol University used to play sporting things against the University of the West of England, and the University of the West of England would chant to Bristol University, you're a bunch of Oxbridge rejects, which mostly we were, and the reverse would be, you're just a polytechnic. And it was just, that was life in 97 to 2000 at Bristol University. But my nephew, or one of my nephews, has just graduated from Bristol last summer. And it was kind of fascinating seeing that kind of 25 years apart, that, you know, the next generation of Jew there. So I was in a very non-Jewish circle of friends, many of whom, like Debbie, had not met a Jew before. And I kind of loved that because I could just teach them about my Judaism. There wasn't any kind of like, well, you know, that's Orthodox, this is Reform. I was just like, this is Judaism. You live with a Jew. These are my rules. So I kind of thought that was a breath of fresh air. Went to JSOC near the beginning of my time and was met by the chaplain there who said to me, oh, you're doing theology. How interesting. Why? And I said, oh, because I'm hoping to be a rabbi after this. And he just looked at me with eyes wide open. his mouth sort of like his jaw dropped and he walked away. Like he had no words.
Way.
He had no words.
I thought he was going to warn you off it.
No, speechless.
It was that kind of like, oh, I'm an Orthodox rabbi and I have no idea how to like even respond to that. Which kind of made me feel that maybe JSOT wasn't for me, which is a shame, and didn't really go back. Spent a lot of time, like when there were festivals and Shabbatot, I wanted to go to shul, I'd get the train to Cardiff to be with Rabbi Elaine Rothman, who was there at the time, or I'd just come home for festivals and stuff. So I had a strange kind of almost a hiatus in my Jewish life, was so much everything in North London where I grew up. And I knew I was, as soon as I graduated, going to Israel and then hopefully Leo Beck. So it was just this kind of almost hiatus in my Jewish life being at university. Whereas my nephew, who I think it's fair to say, the rabbinate was pretty much as far down the list of potential occupations as he might have considered as possible, absolutely threw himself into Jewish life at Bristol. I think as a bit of a kind of, we can feel safe and together on campus by being a really strong Jewish group. He set up a football league for Jewish students and JSOCs around the country so that there'd be football tournaments, and they went traveling to play against different teams and therefore had that also that kind of sleeping on friends' floors around the country sort of element. And he, who, you know, has, I think at home, it's fair to say, would never have even put a piece of toast in the toaster, because my sister is the ultimate in mums who just is wonderful, was making Friday night dinner for the whole of JSOC on a regular basis. And so it actually provided a really lovely social and as Debbie said, you know, it was the way that he kind of really engaged with Jewish life in a really meaningful way at university. So, you know, whether that would have happened not in the backdrop of war, who knows, but it was definitely a defining part of his university experience.
Yeah, I definitely didn't go to uni thinking I was going to be a rabbi. Although I did religious studies, it was because I was fascinated, and actually I didn't apply to Cambridge and rejected Bristol because you guys are doing theology, right? Not religious studies.
Well,
and the theology courses, you had to do like 50% Christianity and Bible studies before you were allowed to do the world stuff that I was really interested in. Whereas Lancaster was this kind of broad stretch of incredible subjects, you know, Indian art and architecture and Japanese religions and modern Islamic thought and all sorts. But actually, I think so, in a way, I think I was maybe trying to get away from the Jewish, but it had the opposite effect, that it made me reflect on everything through this sort of external lens of, well, then what does my faith mean? What does my practice mean? And it was at uni when Miriam and I trundled off to Berlin that I realized that I was going to take this path.
You know, we had a bar mitzvah at FRS last week where two people who'd met on that trip and got together and started dating on that trip, it was their daughter's bat mitzvah. Like, that is Jewish continuity in a whole other way that John Boyd was not expecting when he put that trip together.
Absolutely. And that trip was run by Reform students, which would now be Progressive Jewish students. And the impact of having those intense experiences at university was so important. And it's really hard for progressive Jewish life on campus because we can't possibly compete financially with all the provision that's out there that's not progressive. So those experiences you guys had of going into JSOC and finding this isn't my Judaism, I think is really real. And some people are able to move between those spaces really confidently and it's not a problem. And for others, it just feels really alien.
And that was so lovely, I think, also with my nephew's experience, which he was able to find his Reform Judaism. Like, he was able to be in that much more Orthodox space than he was used to and be able to say, hold on, this is not everyone's experience. Let me tell you, like, this is me kind of thing. And I'm super proud that he was able to kind of, you know, put his stamp on Jewish provision in a way that actually I didn't have the confidence to, which is kind of remarkable. I just walked away.
I think it's really cool, by the way, that we all did theology.
I didn't realise that till today.
Yeah, right. Theology and religious studies. That's really weird. And all the different interconnections. Because it's not actually, listeners might think that's obvious that you, if you're going to be a rabbi, you'd have done that. But actually it's kind of, I found the opposite. No, it's quite unusual.
Especially as you became a lawyer.
Yeah, I did that after. Because I went to university like you, Miriam, thinking this is my path to the rabbinate. It was very clear to me that straight after I'd then applied to Leo Beck College. But because I had such a complicated Jewish time at Cambridge, I didn't feel ready. And I also felt very young. So I was like, well, I'll do something else.
I was going to be an RE teacher.
Right. Well, it's really interesting that we all did that as well. So thanks, Robberting, on for us finding more connections.
getting to know each other. With
getting
an audience.
To know each other.
Yeah. So I think there's only so much that we can shed light on the current situation by taking our own trip down memory lane to our student years of a couple of decades ago. So it's really interesting to have Zach Bates Fisher with us recording today. Zach is the Student Engagement Officer for Progressive Judaism, which is a newish role, or as Debbie would say, a role that we've kind of brought back and resurrected from times of old. But Zach, it would be really helpful to tell us a little bit about what you see of that job kind of today and what that means to you in terms of what your aims are or what Progressive Judaism's aims are by having you in this role.
Great, thank you. As you said, I'm Zach. I do student engagement at Progressive Judaism, which is a new role this year, this academic year. I graduated last year from Sheffield. I was JSOC president and I'm now doing this. So I spend literally all of my time, full-time job, speaking to students, going around the country, visiting them, kind of just providing welfare support, connecting them with local communities, running events. It's really kind of a very all-encompassing role, but it's a lot of fun.
It sounds good. And after our own experiences of university, we can really see why it's so necessary to not just have somebody in that role, but somebody who is being able to fly that flag of Progressive Judaism. Is it a difficult time to be kind of in that role now? You were obviously at university yourself in the whole post October the 7th kind of time period. How does it differ from kind of then and now? Are you still seeing the after effects? What's it like? I think we all paint this picture of it's so difficult being a Jew on campus right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that there's completely a truth to it. I was a student before October 7th and also after October 7th. And so I think I had a bit of experience of both of those time periods. And I would say that it definitely felt more heightened, more tense on campus. And it felt like there was more, I would say, low-level anti-Semitic incidents that I witnessed and I was maybe even subject to. Even that being said, I think the vast majority of people I met at university, whether that be through societies, through my course, through living with them, were just really curious and really open-minded about Judaism and Jewish people. Mm. And it's a really small minority that kind of ruin it for the rest of us, I think.
And have you got any kind of sense of what it is that students are really saying about their own Judaism on campus at the moment?
Yeah, I think that there's a real push to not let our Jewish lives on campus be defined by anti-Semitism and be defined by a war going on like hundreds of miles away. Those things are really important, and it's really important that in my role I focus on them and that Jewish students do focus on them. But there's so much great stuff going on for Jewish students, whether that's, you know, Haggim festivals, Shabbat, just having food with people, going clubbing, going on a walk somewhere. Like there's countless things going on for Jewish students that are organized by and for Jewish students that I think are really showing the pride that we have. And that also I think happens in outreach on campus, whether that's interfaith outreach or just kind of Jewish education, educating non-Jewish students, friends, about what Judaism is and what Black Jewish people are and believe and do. I think just to give an illustration of the kind of anti-Semitic incident that might happen on campus, we've got a recording from Ruben, who was a student last year and now works at UJS, the Union of Jewish Students.
When I was at university, we had a few numbers join a freshers WhatsApp group for the JSOC and send some really horrific messages to freshers on the group chat. Really, really scary. We were all on a bar crawl at the time it was happening. And I remember the fear and emotion that people had watching that happen in real time. There were messages blaming Jewish students for what was happening in Gaza, calling them horrific names and using really extreme language. We reported it immediately to the police, who eventually, after it took about a year and a half, eventually three people were arrested and charged. But it took a long time. And that was really difficult for the JSOC and difficult for Jewish students involved, being left in that limbo. The university were very supportive and offered welfare support, but they couldn't take action until the people were identified by the police. And the university, the SU, couldn't take action given they weren't, eventually found out they weren't students and it wasn't a student group.
Wow. When he said it took the police ages, I thought he was going to say, so 6 weeks later. 18 months. And what I really felt listening to that, and it makes me feel quite emotional, because when we've been thinking back on being undergrads, I remember being a fresher and it being really like new. I felt quite vulnerable. It's the first time for most being away from home. So you're like, you're having to deal with a lot of shifts. You're trying to establish your own identities in multiple different ways and friendships. And to have something as heinous as that happen, and to feel that vulnerable on top of everything, but then also to not be supported in the right ways, it sounds like, through the slow police action, is just really not okay. And it's really hard to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a much bigger conversation around this that we probably don't have capacity for today. But I'm conscious that for a lot of those students, 70% of our young people today are at Jewish day schools. So when they're going off to university, this is often their first experience of being in a world where they're hearing this stuff at all, because they're sort of protected from it in the Jewish day school world, and maybe not able to know how to argue and you know, represent themselves, which just adds to that vulnerability.
Lots of this anti-Semitism has been focused on what's been happening in the Middle East, in Gaza and Israel. It's clearly targeting Jewish people. This was in a JSOC group chat, and it's based on I think a false notion of what it means to be Jewish and what the Jewish relationship with Israel is. And that's, again, really hard if people haven't, most 18-year-olds haven't had to think really complex thoughts about what their Jewish identity means in this context and how to defend their Jewish relationship with Israel against this kind of hate.
Right. And my kind of sense of that was, you know, it elicits kind of different possible responses from those kids, right? Some of those kids are the same student who had been told when they were in their Jewish day school uniform before they came to university to take their blazers off or anything that showed them to be a student from a Jewish school on their way home. And so is that still ringing in their ears, that technique of, look, I'm putting myself in harm's way by being part of JSOC, so I'll just walk away from JSOC and just hide my Jewish identity on campus? Or does it say, well, I'm going to have to be very vocal about the fact that I'm Jewish, but I don't have a relationship with Israel, which, you know, is certainly not a stance that I would advocate. And that actually, I would hope that there wasn't that kind of response of like, well, maybe I have to ditch Israel and my Judaism in order not to face this. Or because it was initially experienced when they were together, is it actually a group bonding thing that we've seen all too often through the kind of millennia of Judaism, which is, oh, common enemy, let's get even tighter together. And we've just got another generation of Jews whose Jewish identity is based on this shared kind of fear of the other. You know, none of those responses are actually the response that I would want, which is just proud Jewish students on campus having fun like anybody else. It's sad, really sad.
And of course, the students aren't a monolith, just like Jews aren't a monolith. There are going to be diverse political approaches from students. And, you know, I know of students who felt alienated from JSOC because of their political views and vice versa. And, you know, throwing an external sort of attack into the mix is really painful.
Yeah, and I went to a lecture a couple of weeks ago by the amazing Susanna Heschel, who was talking about anti-Semitism, and she said it's really important to think about anti-Semitism as a verb and not a noun, because it's dynamic, it shifts. And it does make me think, like, I think there's also a a concern about the narrative of how hard it is for a Jew to be on campus today. And there are experiences, we've just heard one. And thank you, Ruben, for sharing such a vulnerable story as well. We've just heard one, so I'm not saying it's not there. But Zach, I loved what you said about not being the only story, because anti-Semitism has always been there. Like, I know I've got experiences that I didn't share about university. My sister had a horrible thing happen to her. Debbie, you spoke about some awful things that were said to you at university. It's now like it's just shifting anti-Semitism, bringing Israel in as a weapon against Jewish students, which is not okay, obviously. It's like it's dynamic. It changes and it shifts, but it's been there. So we also have like collective experience of, as Miriam said, like constructive ways of being able to be together and not create binaries, to be able to be in the complex truths that we all have and political opinions and make space for each other. And I think students are really, you know, that's the best of academic spaces and students is critical thinking and having hard conversations in ways that are curious and rigorous as well.
Zach, were there any examples then of like allyship? Did that kind of experience for any students enable them to be able to say, well, actually, you know, this is what's going on for me, but look at these people who are putting their arms around the shoulders and saying, we're here for you?
Yeah, I think from my own experience, there's definitely people who were really supportive. And I think about there was a time I was at a pub and I was wearing a kippah and someone just came and snatched it off my head.
Ooh.
And I was with lots of my non-Jewish friends and they were unbelievably supportive in that moment. And really, like, one of them just went and had a go at the person who'd done it. And then I just were really, really emotionally supportive to me at a really difficult time. So it's, you know, I think really important. I want to bring in James, who's going to speak a little bit about anti-Semitism, but also about what his JSOC has been doing to try to combat it proactively.
Hi, I'm James. I go to the University of Sheffield. I think Sheffield JSOC has had a really good relationship with the university this year, specifically the Students' Union, who have really tried to accommodate to our needs and worked really hard to make Jews feel safer on campus. Being a Jew on campus is really hard, and sometimes things like protests can make you feel slightly intimidated or uncomfortable. So for example, in Sheffield, they've told us when they know there's going to be a protest, so if people want to avoid that, that's something they could do. Also, interfaith events this year have been really, really great. We've had an interfaith dinner. We were invited by the Islamic Circle to their iftar this week, and I think this is really great because it makes Jews feel a little less isolated from the rest of the university. I think coming together with different faith societies is just great for unity, and it really helps us feel more comfortable and safe on campus.
I love that story. Thank you, James. It's so great. And to like be the thing that really struck me and made me feel again a bit emotional was the Islamic Circle and being invited to an iftar. Like, how important, like, from that work to, you know, the wider society. It's what we need. It's, you know, groups, the rising Islamophobia, rising anti-Semitism, for people to be able to come together on that kind of shared experience and not jump into the binaries and the things that are expected, you know, the positions we're expected to take. It's really powerful to hear. And I, you know, it's great, Zach, that you're here and you're bringing these stories because it holds all the complexities. Like, yes, there are really awful hate crimes happening. And we're starting now to hear the stories of students navigating that in ways that are, you know, positive and constructive.
Mm-hmm. Are there other interfaith sort of elements actively happening on campus that you're aware of, Zach? Because I think that sense of how we build community together across communities, not just I'm going to, you know, build my Jewish identity, but I'm going to build it in a way that's in positive relationship to others.
Yeah, I think that there's a real kind of lottery with interfaith in different campuses, and where you go really has an impact on your experience of it. I know that at some universities there'll be a sort of like dialogue society or something like that. Durham definitely has one, which is focused on bringing people together, sometimes in relation to really difficult issues, sometimes just in relation to like getting to know each other. When I was at university, I was really kind of passionate in JSOC of trying to make our interfaith work a little bit more engaged and a little bit more important to us. I was interfaith officer before I was president, so I think that's probably why. And I know that there's some really great things happening. There's been quite a lot of JSOC sport that's popped up in the last few years. And on a lot of campuses, that means playing against lots of other non-Jewish sports teams at a university. And so there's been some really great interfaith sports games going on. And yeah, dinners. I know there's definitely been some kind of specifically Jewish events that we, when I was JSOC president, we invited all the other faith societies to a Friday night dinner 1 week.
Gorgeous.
And it's really great to hear stories like James's of, you know, being invited to an iftar, being invited into other faith spaces and allowing not just other students to learn about Judaism, but also Jewish students to learn about other faiths and other backgrounds.
That sounds amazing. I love to hear of that work. I want to like champion it and shout it from the rooftops. And Zach, I guess this is kind of related. I'm really interested in experiences because, and the three of us have been sharing our experiences of our undergrad times of how difficult in part it was to be a progressive student. Miriam shared a really crazy story, really hard story of feeling or being rejected by an Orthodox chaplain, kind of finding a space within that. So what's your kind of experience on finding your way? You know, how do progressive and Orthodox communities, are they coming together as students coming together in the same ways that we're hearing of multi-faith and interfaith?
Yeah, so a lot of my work relates to this specifically. And it's something that's really, really important to me. When I was at university, I really felt like there was kind of one Jewish community and we weren't dividing on political lines too much or on kind of religious denominational lines. And that was really, really important. I had some really good friends who were from Orthodox backgrounds and were much more observant than I would say I am. But that didn't stop us from being friends and getting on and having that one Jewish community together. I think it'd be a really great time to bring in Abby's voice note. Abby goes to Birmingham, which is one of the largest JSOCs in the country and has historically had a higher Orthodox kind of population than a lot of other universities.
A Juniversity, if you will.
A Juniversity.
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a first year liberal arts student at the University of Birmingham. So I've only been here for a few months, but I am quite involved with the Jewish community that we have here. I have taken an education role on committee. And so my kind of focus at the minute is elevating progressive voices and trying to work with the Orthodox community so that we can have one shared space for students on campus. So we had a joint Friday night dinner the other day with one progressive and one Orthodox service, and then we all came together for dinner, and that was really, really lovely. And I'm very lucky that we have Rabbi Margaret here, who holds wonderful monthly dinners for us and is just a general amazing support. So I'm really excited to see what the JSOC has in store for us and what I can do to make it even more inclusive for progressive students.
I was just going to say, I love hearing the voices and being like, I think I recognise that voice.
Oh, look at you, Abby. I know, Abby. You're so great. Yeah. And Abby listens to Rabbiting On. So that's really cool. I know I keep jumping in first, but I'm like, I love these voices. I could listen to them all day. And Abby, thank you so much. What it made me think of is, Miriam, you and I particularly were talking about almost a lack of confidence of what it was to bring our Judaism to university, which probably people would not expect maybe from where we are now. And Abby, a few months in, is leading the way. And I'm just full of nachas, like full of pride of that is the best that we can be, isn't it? To have a strong sense, and that makes sense with who Abby is and family as well, strong sense of what it is to be Jewish and progressively Jewish as well, and to reach out and to be doing such positive work. I just think, yeah, amazing. Kol hakavod, good work.
I also really love hearing what Rabbi Margaret Jacobi's
doing.
Yeah,
I love you, Margaret. And, it's great.
You know, 25 years ago, one of the biggest challenges we had, and we were a team, poor Zach's doing this on his own, there were three of us doing this work and a chaplain, you know, trying to hook up our students with their local communities, right? Because we don't have chaplains all over the country, but we do have local communities in lots of places. And sometimes students just don't want to be in that formal, you know, setting and don't want to engage with the local community. Sometimes the local community is just a bit too far away from campus and it's a pain to get to. So hearing that, it sounds like Margaret's really going there and doing that stuff. You know, as communities, we would love to engage with students, whether it's the students who have grown up in our communities or students who have come near our communities to study. And making those connections is really hard.
I have to say it's what Chabad do just so well, that thing of knowing that it is their job as rabbis' family to simply open their doors and say, come in, let us feed you. You know, I can say it critically because I wasn't able to be that rabbi either. We are more boundaried around our homes and our families and all of those kind of things. But there's something so valuable in that warmth of what a family can offer that says, you know, come in, this is my home. Let me be that kind of home away from home, which would be so wonderful if it doesn't have to be the rabbi's family. We have Jews living near so many of our universities. If we were able to get those families just to go, Jewish students on campus who need a bit of a home away from home, some Shabbatot or festivals, like, let me open the doors to them in the hope that wherever my kids are at some point, they'll also be kind of welcomed in, and being able to get that kind of program up and running that we see it as our role, just as fellow Jews to welcome in other Jews in that kind of hospitable way, which I think progressive Judaism, we're just not quite as good at. We need to know how many people are coming for dinner so far in advance and kind of lay the table accordingly.
But we can, that's also to our benefit in the sense that I think it just needs investment. I think it's about, all that radical hospitality, I guess, which is maybe what we could call it. We have that as a guiding principle. But it needs investment. It needs people like Zach in position who have the time, the capacity and the passion, which I definitely know from speaking to Zach about this work. And we need to put more and more into that so that we can create these spaces. And I love what Zach said earlier about space. And we heard from Abby and from James as well, like creating these spaces for and by Jewish students. Also, it's an empowering thing. So it's not just that they get gifted this Jewish experience in the rabbi's home, but actually they're creating it, like Miriam, your right. nephew, like who is
kind of like Debbie did.
Ducking, yeah, great. And that's actually, I think that's our power as progression. It's not about, we could do another episode about what I think about Chabad and my real concern about it, which I'm probably all share in some ways, but actually, is that even the model we'd want? Do we not want to support Jewish students being able to really feel empowered in their Judaism? But it needs investment and it needs time as well.
And it's such a precious time in life where you have this opportunity to explore for the first time what it is to live your Judaism beyond your family's way, beyond your community's way, to meet different types of communities, even within the progressive world, right? The community in Blackpool, which was my nearest from Lancaster, was a world away from Radlet Reform with a full-time rabbi and all those differences. And it's all part of the self-discovery. Did you discover a lot about yourself at university, Zach?
In many ways. I think I really came into my Jewish identity in a way that I hadn't before as well. And I think it's a time where you can really decide what you want to do as an adult and as your own person living independently in community often, but also as an independent adult. And that's really, really special. I'm going to just say, if any students want to get in touch with me, they absolutely can, please do. Or parents of students, pass my details on as well. You can find me at zach.pjs on Instagram. And the link in the bio there will have my email and my WhatsApp as well, if you want to get in touch that way. Speaking of finding your own identity at university, I think we'll finish with a voice note from Molly.
My name is Molly Phillips and I go to university in the southwest of England. Now, I would talk about the hardships of being Jewish on campus and the tough times that we've been through and how we overcame those. But I'm in my final year of being a Jewish student and I want to take a different approach. I want to talk about how happy being a Jewish student on campus makes me. It really brings me so much joy. It has taken me out of my shell. I didn't engage with my Jewishness in school. I didn't feel comfortable too. I went to a very mixed school where I didn't feel comfortable to be open with who I was. But since I've come to university, I've really come into myself. I absolutely love being Jewish and the opportunities that it brings you, the people that you get to meet, the things you get to learn, the beauty of the religion and the beauty of the community. I love everything about it, from singing songs at Friday night dinner to advocating on campus. It's been an experience like no other, and I cannot wait to take my Judaism outside of university and to where it takes me.
Oh, Molly, we can't wait either. Gorgeous. That's the best of it. Great.
I'm so glad we've got that link, because I feel that Molly's Jewish identity is going to be a big part of her future. Uh-huh. And I can't wait to be able to kind of, you know, find it when I hear from her in the Jewish world in years to come, and be able to be like, look, this is what you said. This is where it started. That just fills me with hope and pride, and reminds me that actually there are still so many people out there, you know, and we're seeing them coming to the Beit Din as well. People who are literally finding Judaism at this time. But so lovely that this is also a time where people are reconnecting with their Jewish identities too.
Molly reminded me of that story I was telling back at the beginning, of this guy who didn't know anything about Jews and was feeling sorry for me because all he knew about was the Holocaust. And regardless of our history, Judaism survives because it is meaningful and adds to who we are. And to hear Molly frame that from campus today is so beautiful and reassuring.
And what a beautiful time for that message, right? Between the silliness of Purim and the kind of that sense of what we want for our own futures and deciding our own destiny of Pesach, to be able to say we do that all the time, sometimes in the backdrop of persecution and sometimes in the backdrop of masking our own personalities and who we actually are. But regardless, we do it with that sense of always journeying forward and taking our identities with us.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point that I took from Molly's little voice note for us. And because I don't think it's like regardless of the difficulties, she said at the beginning, I'm making a choice here to have an approach that is going to celebrate me stepping into my Judaism. And it's not, it's actually because of, it sounds like that's part of the journey of her being able to embrace it and the positivity of going forward. And I think that's, you know, that's on us. It's to take up that mantle and to that kind of demand on us to be hopeful, to do good in the world, because we know, and for not for the negative not to be the only story. So feeling super inspired by our four lovely voice notes and the work that Zach's doing out in the world. It's, yeah, great.
A huge thank you to you, Zach, not just for being here and recording with us, but also for giving us that real sense of there's so much positive going on for the next generation. You really are shaping our future and the future of our communities, because you're building that future leadership for us. So thank you. Thank you to all of the voices who contributed today, and know that there's ongoing support for you and your work, not just from us three rabbis, but from all of our colleagues as well. Just tell us where you need us and when.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Robin, I think as Rosh Socials, head of social media and all that that entails, her reels are really pretty good. Can you remind people how to stay in touch and maybe tell us their own university campus Jewish stories of life on campus, whether it's those people listening today or those and are at university, or those people listening with a few decades post-uni behind them?
Yeah, will do. Rosh Socials. Also all the JSOCs out there, tag us, retweet. I was doing so well. Share the, do whatever you do on Instagram. I'm trying really hard. I am still a student, but obviously a mature, very mature one. We would absolutely love you to follow us and to rate us, as Rabbi Miriam said early on in the podcast. And the rating isn't just so that we feel good about ourselves. Please give us all the 5 stars that you can. It's really so other people can find us and join. Our experience is that once you come into our podcast, you want to stay. So we want as many people as possible to come into these conversations, to break down some assumptions about Jewish student life and the nuance of what that means. So please do rate so that more people can join. Please follow, share. The handle for Instagram is @rabbiting_on_podcast.
It's been a great episode, another great chat with you. So look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks' time.
Can't wait. Bye.
Bye. And thanks, Zach.
Bye-bye.